You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's mine. Hi. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Facebook Live. Welcome to the second anniversary party of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded on November 9th, 2016, in honor of my mother's work on the earth after her passing. It's called I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. I'm Sheena Metal. It's an honor to be here with you. This is our second annual anniversary party live from the video studio at LA Talk Radio. And I'm warning everybody, I'm probably going to cry a lot tonight. I'm here surrounded by people that I love who have come on board to follow me in my life's mission of bringing more peace, love, kindness, and unity to the world.
And to eat snacks.
And to eat snacks. If you bring snacks, Carolyn Hennessy will go anywhere with you. I leave a trail of peanut M&Ms everywhere I go. So a little bit, really quick, before I introduce everybody, about the movement. My mother was a brilliant teacher and a therapist and a brilliant psychic medium. She lived in many worlds, and mostly she believed in counseling and helping people one-on-one while nobody knew what she was doing. Suzanne knew her. L.A. knew her. L.A. Weiss is my best friend from high school, and she's on our Vibration Council, as is the wonderful Scott Travis and my dear friend Suzanne Groff. Carolyn Hennessy is on our advisory board. Many people from both are going to be here tonight, including some new faces this year. My mom was very shy. She'd had a really tough childhood, so she wasn't good in front of people. And I really feel that you can take the call. People are calling in. I really feel that LA's like engineering tonight for the first time.
Just let them hold.
I really feel like I was put on this earth to sort of be her mouthpiece and share her teachings with the world, and that's why I founded this movement. So tonight you're going to hear from some wonderful people involved in this. We're going to talk about peace, love, kindness, and unity, and we're going to make a plea to the whole world to let's put more love and kindness in the world, think about unity, and think about peace. And when I think about love, it's hard to do so without one of our wonderful advisory board members, the beautiful Kate Linder. Kate, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, sweetheart. Hey. Welcome. Happy anniversary to you, too. Thank you for being a part of this movement.
I have to put this on to hear.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Will you really quick share a little bit about what the mission of this movement means to you and why you wanted to come on board and join our advisory board? And I'm so honored to have you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's just, you know, we just have to look what's going on even here in Thousand Oaks.
Right.
What's going on in this crazy world? And if everyone would just give back just a little bit, just think what a great place we'd all be in.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I think we just need to stick together and not give up and keep moving forward.
I agree. And I think when we're talking about Thousand Oaks a little bit and what happened at the bar tragically last night here in our own backyard in Thousand Oaks, California, I think that sometimes when something happens, instead of us immediately jumping into, it's somebody's fault because of this, it's this person's fault because of this, this party did this wrong and this party did that wrong, we should think about, you know, why does this keep happening and why are there people in crisis and why are we not getting help for them? And with the emotional immune system of our country, how can we find ways to make people feel safer, to make people feel more nurtured, to make people feel like they can get the help that they need so that these things can stop happening? And for people who are not going to get that help, for people who don't know how to get better, then we just have to find ways to find those people and weed them out and do what we can to help them in any way we can. For instance, with this shooter, right, we think that with this guy, the police had been to his house a couple of times because of altercations. They
with
didn't feel like they had the right to put him in on a 5150 hold. They wanted to, but it wasn't quite there. And maybe we need to give people sort of the
permission to act.
Right, to trust their instincts, to think this is somebody who's wrong, and this is somebody that we need to get some help because they're not in a good place out on their own.
We've said that so many times before, like in the last few years.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
I know it's true. It's like, when do we go from saying, well, we need to give law enforcement, medical professionals, law enforcement professionals, the ability to trust their own instincts and to act on their own instincts.
Yes.
And that's what everybody wants.
Right.
Yeah. But so far, we just keep getting people killed.
Right.
That had they been in a health deeper into the healthcare system, if somebody has actually said, you know what, no, you don't get to go. We're gonna let's have a chat. Let's go see a therapist. Get on this medication, whatever. Right. Because he said he was not convinced, Ian, he was not convinced that he had full-blown PTSD.
Right.
So then they said, okay, fine.
Well, and Suzanne Wright is on our Vibration Council. Suzanne is our medical advisor. We need to start acknowledging PTSD as a real thing and seriously talking about what a real thing it is.
My God, yes. And it's, I mean, mental health in this country needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
In so many
Yesterday.
Ways.
Yesterday.
Yes. Yes. And we're seeing some awareness now. You're seeing these billboards where people are talking about it's okay to talk about it, seek help, you know, reach out. We're seeing more of that in the media, which is huge. But yeah, this gentleman, I mean, the authority, the police have the authority to do the 5150 hold. Right. I think it speaks to someone's personal confidence. Do they feel... like, you know, it's just personal confidence. They had the authority to put the hold of it, and I'm not blaming anybody, but it's about trusting your instinct.
Trusting your own instincts,
And when you put someone on a hold, it's a hold. It's nothing permanent. It's a chance to stop, pause, and assess.
Absolutely.
And it could go either way.
Absolutely. And I come from a family of police officers, and that's not really part of their job description. But as the world gets a little more insane, it might become part of their job description. Kate, thank you so much for calling in. I just want to say before I let you go, because I know I always bring everything back to my mom and her memory, that before I ever met Kate, Kate's character on Young and the Restless that she's done for decades was one of my mother's favorites. And in times when my mom was depressed when I was little and was really battling depression and wasn't talking about it, watching soap operas with me on Channel 2 was what kind of made her laugh. And getting into all the characters that she could tell me about when I was in school, when I came home. This is what you missed today on Young and the Restless. So, Kate, from my mother and from me, from a fellow Scorpio of my mother and from me, thank you so much for all your beautiful work on that show and for making a lady very happy and making her daughter very happy. And who knew I would grow up and become your friend, and it's an honor.
I think we lost her.
And I'm already crying.
So. But and she heard that part.
Yeah, I'm sure she heard that part. And it's 10 after, and I'm already crying. Do we have our next one?
Yep.
We have 4 hours of this.
I know. I'm going to cry the whole time. I'm going to talk about my mom, and I'm going to cry the whole time. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, there's someone on.
And I'm getting my papers. I feel like I'm a pundit on a news channel. Betsy, are you with us?
I am.
Hi, beautiful. It's the wonderful Betsy Chassie. And for those of you who know Betsy, but I'm going to let you know, I know everybody knows Betsy. Betsy directed a wonderful movie that changed a lot of our lives called What the Bleep Do We Know? And in the spirit, kind of bringing the spiritual community and the world of physics kind of together, right? And helping scientific people to see spirituality. And we've been friends for years. And it's wonderful to have you on our advisory board, Betsy. And what does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
Wow, this is a huge question, especially today. I have to share something with you about that. You know, I had this interaction today with a really great friend of mine. I love this person, but they were talking about what happened, you know, at Tucker Carlson's house. It was last night, I think it was, where a bunch of people who I agree with why they're angry, you know, were violent. And so he posted this whole thing about it, and I just said, gosh, I wish they hadn't have gotten violent. And He was like, you don't understand, this is happening and this is happening, we have to get violent. And I was just like, no, actually, we don't have to get violent. Last week I was challenged by another mommy friend of mine to get 20 women that maybe hadn't voted before or maybe were apathetic about voting to vote. That was your goal, you had to get 20 women to the polls. And so I was like, okay. And I went for it. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, you know, there's so many things we talk about doing and how can we do this? And, you know, I got my 20 women, and many of them were Latina women who were just like, look, you know, voting, nobody cares, nobody hears. And then a few of them were, you know, kind of Trump supporters, but they weren't really anymore. And they were just like, look, I'm not going to get into this because I'll be ostracized by the community. And for me, it was just really having those conversations and just listening and not judging them anymore for why they weren't voting or what their reasons were. And so that's what raising the vibration means to me. It was like just being present and loving to them and listening and allowing for them to be where they were at in the moment, and then not having, you know me, I'm a passionate person. I will jump down your throat if I can, right? Like,
yeah. But it was somebody's a Pisces.
But it was a practice of just listening and just being present with where they were at and allowing them to express their fears, their concerns, their beliefs that might be different than mine, but that just being present with them and not like what my friend did on my, when I commented this, like, gee, no violence, he like ranted at me, like my friend, like lost his cookies on me.
I know.
And I was like, well, and I just said back to him, I said, you know, I hear you, but this is the problem that we're having. This is why we can't raise the vibration, because I disagreed with you slightly and you like ate me for lunch. And so for me, raising the vibration right now is not eating someone who disagrees with me for lunch.
I agree. Don't eat people for lunch. You know, it's funny because I spent the midterms, I took the day off from LA Talk Radio and I drove people to the polls. And I called it Sheena's Uber or Schuber. And so many people said to me, do I have to tell you how I'm voting in order for you to drive me to the polls? And I said, no. I mean, helping people to get out to vote, I want every single American to vote. That doesn't mean I want every single American to vote the way I vote, but I want every single American because I think that part of lifting the vibration of our national emotional and spiritual immune system and the consciousness of this country is to make every single citizen feel like they matter and their voice is heard.
Because they do.
And that's why we were all given a vote. And voting makes you feel like you matter, and it makes you feel like you're being heard. And that's the most important thing. Because sometimes
what's funny
these...
is the women... Go ahead.
Sometimes these folks that go crazy and start shooting people, for years and years and years, they don't feel heard. And they don't feel... Sometimes they don't feel like... They feel like they're lost in our society.
Well,
and
I think everyone's being heard. But what people don't want to really take into account or admit is sometimes the answer is no.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
The answer is no.
And
it's not going to go your way.
Sure. And that's why I think what Betsy's talking about.
But, you know, it's cool. Like, let me tell you about the pro-Trump supporting women. I'm not going to call them Trump supporting anymore because they're really, like, disillusioned. They're just like, okay, when the dude started putting kids in cages, like, they're of that ilk that, I live in a really interesting neighborhood, which has got a lot of, like, you go two blocks one way and you're like, you know, super snotty $1 billion homes, and two blocks another way and you're not, you know? And so it's really interesting.
Welcome to the San Fernando Valley.
Exactly.
Right? And so what was really interesting about these women was that they're kind of that evangelical group, but they're starting to go, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Like, I've been my whole life with, and so we're starting, and he just, you know, Trump just kind of crossed the line for them. But what was really interesting was when we got to a conversation about pro-life, and they started to talk to me about pro-life, and like every ounce of my being had to just be like, breathe, breathe, breathe. And where we actually came to was really cool, was like, they all have daughters, because all of these people are connected to my kids somehow. And they all have daughters, and where I got to them was that actually they can totally be pro-life, and like, pro-choice people are not running around wanting to have abortions. And it's really fascinating because, you know, these women have lived in this culture where that's kind of what they're told, that we're all just sluts who want to, you know, kill our babies, basically, is the way it's positioned to them. And but you know, they're in an area where their girls are like kind of exposed, and so the daughters are like, wait a second, mom, that's not really true. And they're starting to question their mom. And they're starting to realize that the laws that they've been shoving down women's throats are going to negatively impact their daughters. And that's where we got, that's where the conversation, instead of me trying to convince them to not be pro-life anymore, we got into a whole conversation about education. And that flipped them.
Which is important.
That changed their mind.
Education is the most important thing. Betsy, thank you so much. Thank you for being part of our board, and thank you for joining us. And it's an honor to have you on the advisory board. And thank you so much for calling in. Betsy Chassie, everybody, I love you, sweetheart. Thank you for this. Okay, so I know I said at the beginning of the show that we weren't going to talk about any politics, but some of the callers don't know that. but I
noted.
Do want to say that I like what Betsy said in the sense that we need to get out and talk to people who feel differently than us. And that's not just a political thing. That's also a sociological thing, a spiritual thing. We need to get, you know, when I was a kid, so I'll bring it back to my mom. my mom chose not to have me baptized because she wanted me to choose. And then every time I met a friend who was something different, we were kind of Presbyterian light. So Lutheran friends, Methodist friends, Catholic friends, Jewish friends, Buddhist friends, she would send me out to go to church with them so that I would learn about everything. And I think if we allowed our kids and if we ourselves exposed ourselves to more of what was going on in the world, we would realize that most people are what I like to call, you know, spiritual or political salad bar. We take what we want and we leave what we don't on the bar. And we don't feel resentful. Like, I don't go to Sizzler and think, oh, my God, those friggin' onions are there again, even though I never eat onions. I'm not like, onions, I'm going to the manager, onions. No, what we do is we say, oh, I don't want onions, but I do want carrots and I do want cucumbers and I don't like the garbanzo beans, so I don't take those. But we're not resentful because they're on the bar. And if we could get to that as people, where we just say, hey, this is what I like, and I understand that from a political standpoint, sometimes this is going to get in office and sometimes this is going to get in office, but there are things about what everybody believes that I like. I think that we would start listening to each other more.
That's for me, because I'm going to have to go in just a moment.
I know. What does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
It's literally taking it back to square one. It's almost like we're cavemen and we're learning how to communicate because everyone is so polarized and everyone is so angry. Everyone. Except you and I. You and I can seem... We seem to be able to talk.
Right.
But we, I think, maybe are the six people on the planet who can. And everybody is livid for one reason or another. So for me, this whole, my goodness, you are fabulous. Look at you. Hello.
Well, we also have to remember, Erica Irvin is joining us from our advisory board. Hello. We also have to remember that this...
Well, let me
please,
finish.
You finish.
For me, what raising the vibration is, is the invitation to talk. Talk in a safe space and really kind of restart the dialogue because everyone has said, screw you to the dialogue.
Right.
And I'm talking liberals, conservatives, alt-left, alt-right. Everybody is just fisticuffs. We're going to fisticuffs, and that's the basis.
Right.
And then
people who claim to be apolitical, but they still want to fight.
Right, right. But this, to me, what raising the vibration does is just say, you know, take a chill pill, because wasn't it just, who was just on? Betsy?
Yeah, Betsy.
Was talking about, or Kate was, someone was saying that they just said, look, no violence. No violence. Please, no violence. And I remember on when before the inauguration, and I think I may have told you this, I said, look, it's a done deal unless he's assassinated, and God forbid, he's going in tomorrow. So please, no violence. Because I had heard rumblings, many, many rumblings from all quarters that there was going to be violence in D.C.
Violence,
so I said, please, no violence. Just no violence. And I was reamed up one side and down the other.
Well, and so when I started this movement the day after the election, when I saw the country kind of going crazy, I decided if we weren't going to agree politically and we weren't going to agree sociologically and we're not going to agree about fiscal stuff, can we all agree that we would like to live in a world where there is more peace, more love, more kindness, and when we are as a species are more unified? Can we just start with that?
Right.
And then we'll grow from there. And that's what I'm doing. That's our mission. And it's wonderful to have you here, my friend. I'm honored to have you.
I'm not leaving yet.
Oh, I thought you were leaving.
I have 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I'm being explored.
Welcome, Erica. Erica, I'm giving you the disclaimer that we're trying not to talk about politics.
I know, we're
on
trying
the
not
show.
To talk about politics.
We're trying
can
to just
talk about rings.
But
we're
trying.
We can talk
about
rings.
But that's what raising the vibration means to me.
Yes.
For this show.
Suzanne, what is, because you and I have been friends for 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm so proud of that fact.
It's amazing, considering I just turned 30.
I know, and I'm only 18. Suzanne befriended me when I was an ovum. What does it mean to you? Because to have you here in L.A., two of my oldest friends, Ellen and I have been friends since I was 14, for reals, not in the fake world where I pretend I'm 18, in the real world where I'm 51. What does raising the vibration mean to you? Because you know you're not from the entertainment industry like so many of us. You chose to become in service.
I jumped ship.
You did.
Nicely done.
to live a life in
nicely
service.
Done.
And I could not be more proud of you, and I brag you up to everybody I know. because what is a life not lived in service? I mean, so you're the rock star of my life. What does it mean to you to raise the vibration? And why did you want to be a part of this crazy thing that I came up with out of the blue?
Oh, well, the simple answer is you. Aww. So that's that's easy.
Thank you.
But, well, in my line of work, I'm an advanced practice nurse at a community hospital. I see a lot of awful stuff, right? A lot of injustices. Wow. A lot of sad stories, a lot of, you know, bad things happen to nice people, not so nice things happen to really bad people. You know, I see a lot of different things. And it was funny, when I used to practice at the bedside, people would ask me all the time, why are you so happy? You're at work, why are you so happy? And I would always tell them, because I'm not the one in the bed. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm not the one in the bed. And every day for someone in the hospital is scary and hard, and there's so much going on. The last thing they need is for me to come in grumpy, brusque, rude, whatever you want to call it. Nobody needs that. And the gift I got from becoming a bedside nurse, it made me a better person, and it made me realize, because I did this in the middle of my life. I haven't been a nurse since I was a fetus, so I had a different perspective on life before I became a nurse, and it made me a better person, and I was cognizant enough to watch that happen, and the positivity that I put out, I get back. Always. Always. It comes back to you, and it's the simplest things that give people a break, give people, you know, a smile, a laugh, a relief. It doesn't always have to be jovial, but those small exchanges become so huge for both parties. And when you started this movement, it seems like the simplest concept, but in today's world, it can be the most difficult on any given day.
Absolutely.
You know, last night, this morning, you know, whenever Absolutely. You discovered our latest national tragedy, you know, it's hard, but you know, you have to press forward and to continue the positivity. Again, it just gives back.
Absolutely.
There's no downside to it. So
None.
I do what I do in my small way, in my small little world, and this has a bigger reach, and becoming advanced practice nurse gave me a bigger reach, and this gives us a bigger reach.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say you're also just happier because you're not in the entertainment industry?
Okay.
I enjoyed the entertainment industry. I did, to a degree. It has its downfalls for sure. It's a struggle, and it's difficult, but it also has incredible rewards.
Well, she's the only true. Happy one in this room.
The only one.
And it's because she got
why,
out.
Why do I eat?
She got out. Why do I starve she myself and stay fat? You know, something I wanted to say really quick spiritually, because I like to sometimes bring a little fire and brimstone, as you all know, to on what Carolyn said. Because first of all, when I told people I was starting this movement 2 years ago, and you know, LA was an integral part of that, and so was Scott at the time, and they both know, people from both sides of the political and social spectrum would call me and say, what do you think you're doing? We're at war. This is a fight. What is this peace crap? What do you think you're doing? To which I would reply that I was raised by a person who probably had the worst life you can imagine. Yet she believed, now I am going to cry, that everything that hurts you should make you softer as it makes you stronger. And that it's okay, thank you, and that it's okay to be gentle in the face of being tough. So I agree, there is a war, but to me the war is not against a certain party or a certain sociological group or a certain community. The war is that there are people who are benefiting from everyone being at each other's throats.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And love the fight. And those people don't have a face, a gender, a political party, a community. They're people from everywhere. They're people who live in the world of the negative. And for mm-hmm. them, joy is unjoy. So yep. They will not benefit from all of us learning to love each other despite our differences. They benefit from all of us being at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And
it's
when
insidious.
You Yes, and when you find a person like that in your life that is stopping you from being your best you, or that is trying to convince you that what you believe is wrong, or that is trying to convince you that you don't have a say, or that you should be marginalized because who you are, guess what? You've just tripped up against one of those people, and you should back away slowly until you can't see them anymore.
Right.
Because that's where the real fight is. L.A.?
Right. Well, I have a thing. I kind of kind of want to challenge people. If for no other reason, honestly, it's if you want to be completely self-serving, you know, if that's a good way to approach it for some people, being this riled up about things all the time is terrible for your health.
Oh,
yes.
I mean, just if for no other reason, for your own good, you know, what's the point? Sheena knows this. When I was going through chemo and stuff like a year and a half ago, I had to have a blood transfusion, and we had a mutual friend on Facebook, and it was right after the election or right before, I can't remember, and she was not your typical, like, she was literally coming on my page just to attack my friends. And
I had one of those.
Yeah, I mean, there was absolutely no purpose for any of that. There's a call, so I'll finish this really quick. So there was really no purpose for her being there. She didn't, you know, I always told people, you can debate, you can discuss, you can do whatever you want here, but you do not make it personal. Don't just throw out rhetoric. If you have a point that you want to support, give us the facts. It's fine. Debate all you want. But she would just come in and attack. And I was getting a blood transfusion. And I was, you know, I kept her there for a while because I was hoping that maybe we could, you know, soften her and kind of, and I was replying to something that she said, and the nurse came over and took my blood pressure. Almost had a heart attack. She's like, oh my God, your blood pressure's through the roof. And I said, I'm going to put my phone down. I promise, come back in 10 minutes. Everything will be fine. So I put my phone down. I did some deep breathing. She came back. It was great. But, you know, that was a huge lesson because you don't realize, you know, and I thought I was pretty calm because I was really trying to be the rational one. So I thought I was pretty calm, but inside my body was just like, so, yeah. You know, the thing is, is that the mentality, the fighting in any situation, it doesn't have to be political. It doesn't matter if it's within your family or your work or, you know, competing companies or whatever. There's enough to go around. You know, there's enough for everybody. There's enough money. There's enough love, there are enough people to hang out with, there's enough all of it. And, you know, if we kind of approach things in that way, it doesn't really always matter who's, you know, like if we're talking politics, you know, whatever, who's in office,
right.
Who's this,
or not
whatever.
Talking politics on this show.
Right. No, but it's with anything, this sense of competition in all parts of our lives.
Yeah.
See, that's why
absolutely.
I just make my Facebook page my little kingdom.
Good.
You must agree.
For all
we have a caller on here. I'm not
must
sure who
agree
it is.
Audrey, is that you?
No, it's Robert.
Oh, hey, Robert. How are you? I thought you don't sound like Audrey.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like an Audrey.
This is the wonderful Robert Semo, and Robert is a theologian. And I was going to read something that he wrote tonight, but then he was able to call in. And Robert is on our Vibration Council, and he is our theologian.
I'm going to duck out before you do this.
Okay.
It was lovely.
Wonderful to have
bye.
You.
Bye. Thanks.
Love you.
Hi, and bye, Robert.
Everybody.
Hi, bye.
Robert, why did you want to be a part of the Vibration Council for Raising the Vibration?
The reason being is because, you know, most people want to be leaders, and anything that's religion-based, especially from the spiritual side of everything, not the legalistic side of it, is that the leaders need to serve, not to be served. Jesus didn't want to be served. You know, the Buddha didn't want to be served. In Hinduism, the gods, some of them didn't want to be served, and those are the most venerated ones. You have to serve the people. You can't serve your own special interests. I know there was a mention of, you know, blood pressure earlier rising because people want to debate politics. Unfortunately, people don't vote for the good of intent anymore. It's vote on, you know, your team colors. I don't particularly like that. And I prefer to actually read everything and make a wise decision as best as I can for the populace, because we have to worry about each other, not just my personal individual needs. I can be individualistic, but I also need to worry about other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it was bothersome to see people trying to claim a sense of spirituality with nasty finger pointing.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I'm not even going to listen to you because I'm automatically right. And I just assume that because you're on A team or B team, that we automatically disagree.
Yes.
And that's even more closed-minded than the people you're accusing of being closed-minded.
Absolutely.
And I think I said in the, yeah, and I think I said in the letter that I sent you, an open ear leads to an open mind, and an open mind leads to an open heart.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. So beautiful, my friend. Thank you for calling in. And next time we'll get you in here in person, and I would love that. I love you very much, and you've been a friend for so long. Robert also knew my mother, and I'm so honored, and she would be so proud that you're a part of this because she loved you so much.
Thank you. I loved her, too, and I love you. Be safe.
I love you, too, sweetheart. Thank you. Have a wonderful class. Robert's a big rock star now, and he was just in the musical I closed called Afterglow, and so he's taking an acting class tonight, a voice acting class.
3-2-3-1.
Okay. Hi. Welcome to the anniversary party. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Hi, hey, Patty. Beautiful. How are you, beautiful? Nice to see you, my friend.
I'm good. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome. Two years. I don't know what you get for 2 years. Paper, gold, wood.
What do you get for two years? Should I buy it for myself?
First anniversary is paper. I don't know what two is.
Okay. Well, I got paper for the first anniversary because I made signs that said hashtag IamRaisingTheVibration.com, which is where you all can find us. Patty, thank you for being a part of our Vibration Council. Patty is sort of my alternative spiritual advisor for all kinds of alternative spiritualities, especially those in the pagan realm. She's my favorite witch, a really, really, really good witch and one of my best friends. Why did you want to be a part of this, my friend?
Because what you're doing is so needed more now than ever before.
Thank you.
As the veil lifts, the vibration, everything is stronger. And as we know, it's kind of a crazy world going on out there. If we need any vibration raised, we need it now. So I'm just honored to be a part of it.
The people you've
brought together, your whole goal, your reasoning behind it. How could I not?
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I love you
truly.
So much. Next time we'll get you in here in person. I would love that.
Thank you for being a part of this and for bringing your
beautiful energy to it. I love you, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have fun, honey, everybody.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye.
My wonderful friend, Patty Negri. It's funny because my mom always wanted me to have this really cool sort of badass core of women around me. And when I was young, I had all these best guy friends, and girls didn't really like me. And now, in the middle of my life, I have like the fiercest, most badass women around me. And a quick announcement before we talk to Audrey, who I know is on the phone right now. You know, we all have our community. We have our community outreach, the Vibration Nation, that we started last year. We're up to about 12,000 on Facebook. And at the end of the year, we're launching another outreach called Women Raising the Vibration, which is going to be a place where women come together to help other women and to strengthen women everywhere, because I believe that if we ever are going to seek the equality that we claim we want, it starts with us.
We need to stop
throwing each other under the bus, stop not supporting each other, stop shaming each other. Let us be who we are in any way that we come, and let us organically find a way to lift each other up, to support us all, because we're all in this together. So,
beautiful.
And what a beautiful way to introduce my friend Audrey Landers. Are you with us? No. Oh, Audrey's calling in a minute. Okay, good. Audrey will be here any second.
It keeps coming up and going
away,
so I'm waiting for
her to come back. It's that out-of-state area code that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So Audrey will be here any second. She's on our advisory board, and I adore her. Erica, welcome.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, my friend? Erica was the first person I asked to be on the advisory board in a Walmart.
I was in a Walmart.
Where was I? You were on the phone.
Oh, I was on the phone.
We were at Walmart together. You were in Central California.
You're right.
And I was in a Walmart, and we'd had this long talk about how we all have to take what we have inside of us and use it to make everything better for everyone else. And I said, you're going to think this is crazy, Erica, but I'm starting an advisory board, and would you like to be on it? And she said, yes, and you were the very first member, and I'm so thrilled. So what does Raising the Vibration mean to you, my friend?
Simply celebrating being. It's kind of the opposite of nihilism. You guys talking about war and all this tension that's going on, especially political tension. I'd like to say that we're not at war. There is no front lines. There's no battlefield. There's no weapons you can aim at someone else. This is a rescue mission. And I think what's going on is a sense of identity has been fractured. And people are polarized so much right now. And they prejudice their position as moral and then frame the opposition as immoral or evil, and that ends up creating this false dichotomy of this Manichaean good versus evil, and from that tension rises. That's why you don't have any overlapping opinions. And I'm glad for this election. We do have a checks and balance and system in place.
I feel bless our founding fathers, those little devils, and their little checks and balances.
Checks and balances. I know, Trump.
Checks
yeah.
And balances.
Checks and balances. It wasn't a red wave. I'm very pleased at that. Lots going on. I know that people have it in for trans people. There's a group. And I think the lesson here, the takeaway lesson is it's not the people that agree with you that you have to have compassion for. It's the people that you disagree with that you have to have compassion for.
I agree.
Those are the hearts and minds that we need to change, move, and inspire with our own actions and lived experience of living in joy with what you're given in the society. Back to that same thing. Use what you're given. Use your gifts. Use your superpower. Get out there and use what you have.
Be a superhero. And what I was saying about, you can take that. What I was saying about what Betsy said earlier, is that hopefully as we all educate each other, then all of us will learn things about ourselves that we didn't learn, we didn't know, we'll become more enlightened, and we'll realize, well, like how many folks do you know who came from families that were very anti-gay, anti-psychics, anti-paranormal, whatever community you're in, and then as soon as somebody in their family said, this is who I am, suddenly the family softened, first to that family member, then to their friends and their mates, and then to everybody in the community. And then suddenly, guess what? These people aren't anti-gay anymore. So the more we become educated, the more we become enlightened. And the more enlightened we become, the more we're exposed to, the more we realize that all people are the same. And the more we realize that,
dropping the fences.
Exactly.
Dropping the defenses.
Then the more we stop worrying about, I'm in this box and you're in that box, and we start just all being in a giant box called one human family. And that's where the unity part of this movement comes in. Audrey, welcome to the show, and I'm honored to have you on our advisory board, my friend.
Well, hi, Sheena. How are you doing?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
Great.
Sorry about all my technical difficulties in getting you through.
My best friend's engineering for the first time tonight. She's learning so fast on the fly. She's amazing.
Well, that's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? Wonderful, lovely guy who's going to be calling in soon that normally engineers for me, Jeff Floro on our Vibration Council, he lost one of his Pomeranians yesterday. So he's calling in to stay with the other one. And we all know loss of a fur child is grueling. So,
My goodness. I went through that recently.
It's so wonderful. You know, you have the most beautiful, positive energy, my friend. And I love having you and your beautiful son, Daniel, on my shows here at LA Talk Radio.
Thank you.
What does raising the vibration mean to you?
Well, you know, I was hearing just a little bit of what you were saying a moment ago, and it is really just raising awareness, getting people comfortable with people of all different, just everybody has to understand that we are all one and the same. And so raising the vibration is just some way that we can make that awareness resonate. And in fact, you know, something that I was just, as I mentioned to you, I'm breaking away from a quick fundraising project that I'm at right now, which is really exciting because it's for my film, a film that Daniel and I have collaborated on.
Sure.
And our goal in our film is to have a cast that is inclusive and diverse.
Beautiful.
And just goes against every stereotype. So that when you watch our film, you won't be thinking, oh, this person fits into this box and this person fits here. All of a sudden, everybody is able to express themselves and to be creative as wherever their creativity takes them, without the restrictions and stereotypes and preconceived notions. And so we've had a lot of interest, and that's one of the reasons. It's a musical, you know. It's a pop musical.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark pop musical, and
it's so beautiful.
Getting a lot of attention just because that is the underlying theme of our film.
Well, I know that we've talked when you've done my shows before about how your mother sort of instilled that into you, and you sort of instilled that into your kids. This idea that just be who you are, just you know that we organically sort of come out of the box. Being who we are, so why try to mess with that? And I know we've talked about when you've done my show before that my mother raised me the same way, that you have to let people be who they are.
Exactly. And we always were taught, just be yourself, because nobody can be you better than you can.
Yes.
And you know, and that's how I raise my kids too. And I think they look at everybody that way and appreciate the differences in each and every person that they meet, just as I did growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful, sweetie. I know you have to go back to your fundraiser. Thank you so much for being a part of this project. My love to you and Daniel, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, and good luck with the project. I think it's so wonderful.
Thank you, sweetheart. From our advisory board, the wonderful Audrey Landers. What a joy to have her here.
We need more musicals. I'm excited. I want to see this. I don't know what it's about.
Musical.
I'm like, I know.
Oh, Audrey,
I'm in already.
Audrey is from such a musical family, and then her sons are. And it's interesting because she has two twins, twin boys, and they're completely different. So one is very, mm-hmm. you know, mainstream, like a muggle, not in show business. Daniel is like the embodiment of he can do everything, act, and he writes beautiful songs, and he's so talented. And the two of them, mother and son, Daniel and Audrey, have put together this, written this musical together, this kind of dark, almost kind of Rent-esque kind of musical. And they want it to be sort of just this beautiful, just a living diversity and equality and showing how we're all basically the same, which I love.
And musicals are having such a resurgence and such a re-welcoming into society now. I mean, with the La La Land and Moulin Rouge,
yep,
and
absolutely.
Now we got Bohemian Rhapsody. Is the, you know, it's a rock doc, but still, or not really a documentary, but it's coming back.
Yeah.
And you know what musicals are? They're just joy.
Yeah.
You don't have to learn a lesson. It just makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
Musicals Maybe are beautiful Hamilton. And fun and happy.
Absolutely. And I just closed one and I
well,
sang,
Hamilton,
Suzanne.
You got to actually learn something and enjoy it.
What? About our
Sweeney
founding fathers.
Todd will disagree with you on that one.
About our founding fathers and their beautiful woo-woo checks and balances.
Even the demon barber of Fleet Street needed a little love.
Exactly.
He had a wife, so.
Exactly. Do we have a minute? Do we have a call or we have a sec?
Mm-hmm. We have a sec.
Okay. Scott, why don't you tell us what raising the vibration means to you, my friend? Welcome. Scott is our executive administrator, which means he does a little bit of everything and a lot of everything, and one of my best friends, and it's so wonderful to have you here. And in what has been kind of a difficult 3 years for me, this wonderful man has come into my life and been such a rock and such a beautiful force. And when I was little, I wanted a big brother, and now I have one.
Okay, now you're going to make me cry.
Although I'm older.
Not by much.
Seriously.
Hello?
We're going to take a quick call, and then we're going to get back to you, Scott. Jason, is this you?
Yes, I'm Jason Stewart. I'm here walking on the 20th Century Fox lot.
Oh, nice. Well, that's
wow.
fabulous. From our advisory board, the wonderful Jason Stewart. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. I feel like I'm going to a job, but I forgot that I don't have one. I'm just going to a screening.
Well, it's always fun to walk in a lot and be fabulous. Why did you want to become a part of this wonderful movement on our advisory board? And what does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
Well, number one, it was you, because you're my friend and you
Thank
asked
you.
Me to do it. And I know that the things that you're involved in are the things that you care about. And
Thank
that's
you.
Important to me, to support my friends. And I think
Thank
that's
you.
All about raising the vibration. So that's the beginning part of that. The second part of it is everything that's been going on. And, man, we've had a couple of really bad days.
Yeah.
You know, two shootings in the last week and a half.
Yeah. It's hard. Yes.
I mean, the president completely, I don't know what he did to people at CNN. I don't even know how to describe it, like a petulant child, you know. Certainly no respect to people that are trying to do a job and getting two sides of a story.
Right.
But don't you think things are going on?
And I've talked about this a lot, and we weren't going to get real political tonight, so I'm trying not to get political. But I do think that oftentimes our elected officials are reflective of the pulse of our nation. And I think.
But I don't even think it's political anymore. I think it's just, it's not political. It's about kindness and manners.
I agree.
Being open to hearing
I
other
agree.
People's points of view and.
I agree.
I mean, I was talking to a couple of days ago, I was talking to a woman who was one of the talent bookers for a very big show that I'm interested in being on. And she's a Trump person. And I was like trying to understand, just listening to her. I said, well, you know, I'm sure that he has some good ideas. And I don't know what they are yet, but I'm sure, you know, and where do you get your information on this? How does, who told you about this? Where does this go down? And that's what I try to do now.
Yeah. Just get out there.
Try to say, okay, who said this, and
yeah.
and do I respect this journalist? Do I respect this politician? Do
yes.
I respect this person saying that, whoever it is, whether it be a friend?
I agree.
And that's what I try to do.
And what happened to the day where people actually voted for people they liked, irregardless of party? Like, what happened to the day where you didn't always vote party?
I don't even know that day. I mean, everything changed when Reagan became president.
I feel like maybe in some respects there are candidates out there that people might actually find they resonate with, but they won't vote for because we're so stuck in this idea that, like, I think you said so beautifully, well, Erica, you have to be on my team or you're on their team.
Really believe.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. And I just think that hopefully part of the mission of this movement is that we're going to get people to a place where people understand that when you feel empowered in love and in kindness and you feel unified, that you can choose your vote to vote however you want. Nobody's forcing you to vote for a party.
I wish there were no parties and we can just vote on
on people that we love,
you know,
and on their issues.
I do too. That doesn't seem to be possible.
No, I agree. It never has been. It probably never will be. I love you very much, my friend. Thank you for being a part of this. Honored to have you.
Thank you for having me. And anybody who wants to talk to me about this, feel free to go to jasonstewart.com, S-T-U-A-R-T. Send me a message, and I certainly will share with you my feelings. I don't want anybody to think that I'm unavailable or just saying things.
No, not at all. Erica?
Hey, Jason. Love you.
Erica.
Yes, I'm right here, honey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Erica's here. Scott's here with me. We're all here.
Welcome to our family reunion.
Exactly. The gang is here. Thank you so much, Jason. Have a good screening, my friend. I appreciate it.
Take care, everyone.
You too, honey. Isn't it interesting how many people... And you will see tonight, you will hear from tonight, and you will see in front of you tonight people who in their lives have been parts of all different parties and voted all different ways. When we are not all the same here. Isn't it interesting how so many people that resonate with this message and that are part of this movement, mm-hmm. so much of when I ask them what the message is, you know, get educated, be informed, decide who you are, get better seated within yourself. Educate others. Let's try to come together despite our differences. I'm so proud of you all that if I don't cry just thinking about you all tonight, I don't know what I will cry about. Scott, we're back. What does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
Well, now I forgot.
And why did you want to be a part of this movement? Well, remember quickly.
Well, it's easy why I became a part of it because, you know, I'll piggyback everybody else, you.
And for the
record, didn't you call me while you were in Walmart also?
Probably, but like, you were already on the vibration count. I call everyone. From
I don't
Walmart.
Go to Walmart, but maybe I need to start.
This is the thing. Basically, I do.
Walmart or CVS.
Right, I do all my shopping in Orange County because there's no lines in Huntington Beach where I grew up. Don't look for me there. I'll be in my schlumpy jammy clothes. And I basically feel like I do three things. I go to Ralph's, CVS, Walmart, and then sometimes I go to the bank, the dry cleaner, and then I work on my mom's house. And then I go to my friend Kelly's for dinner. That's pretty much what I do. And so if you hear from me, I'm probably one of those places. It's got the point where LA's like, okay, which place are you? And she can hear from the background noise
I
am. She's like, oh, that sounds like the CVS voice. Are you at CVS? So yeah, that I do.
Well, self-check at Ralph's. Yummy.
But I'm always catching you shopping.
I know. Well, that's when I have time to talk, because otherwise I'm sitting in a studio and I'm talking. Before we founded the advisory board, of which Erica was the first member, mm-hmm. we had formed the Vibration Council. And Suzanne and Scott and L.A. and Robert, who you heard from earlier, are all part of the Vibration Council. And so all of you guys were already a part of this. And then I said, you know what? I think we need an advisory board. And that's when I started asking folks to lend their voices. So.
Well, you picked a good one.
She's great, isn't she?
Erica's fabulous.
She was first.
By the way, I love your movie.
You'll always be first, my friend.
Thank you.
And you, Scarecrow, will always be the first. It's a Wizard of Oz.
I got the joke.
Oh, my God. I was gonna take your gay card.
Kind of like you're evil and should be what is it? What is it? You're evil and should be killed. Don't let the house fall on you. Keep your own shoes.
Yeah. You just got your gay card back.
Never let the house fall on you. You'll end up in the hospital.
You just got your gay card back.
Okay.
Raising the vibration. What does it mean to you?
I just want less violence. And it's like everybody needs to be an animal. Unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's no unconditional love. I mean, there's somebody in my life who's supposed to give you unconditional love and doesn't give you unconditional love. And it's all always conditional. And I think that everybody... It seems like most people on this planet, everything's conditional.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It should be everything, you know, just unconditional love.
Exactly.
That's what it looks like to me. I think that everybody should love everybody else and not just try to break them down.
I agree. WWMDD, what would my dog do? We should all wear that shirt. What would my dog do in this case? What in the world would my dog do? It's different, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's like, I know, going back... you know, I just put Lexi, my dog, down 2 weeks ago, two and a half
Carolyn
weeks ago.
Carolyn and I were there. When
Carolyn
Scott
and you were
it.
There, which was a big help, I might add.
Of course.
But, you know, I thought about it after, you know, she's in my lap and they get, you know, they give her the shot and her last breath is on my lap and it was a little devastating. But I thought about it afterwards and I'm like, I had this dog for 15 years. This dog gave me unconditional love, saved my life literally once, probably a lot of other times that I don't realize. And she never wanted anything. She just wanted
just love.
That's it.
That's it.
And it seems like that the world isn't looking in the, like they should be looking out the eyes of a dog. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
and you
why
all
it's so hard when our pets go. You know, that's why it's so difficult when our pets go. People are, why is it so hard? Especially people who don't have pets, they don't understand, you know? But that's why it's so difficult is because you don't really get that anywhere else. Mm-mm. You know, I mean,
right.
That's a huge loss to have, you know, a living being there that's just all about you and, you know, hopefully you're treating them well. But, you know, it's they just, you know, they'll just cuddle up with you. A lot of them are so sensitive. They see if you're hurting or anything, and they like. Yeah. I know Sheena's had some dogs that have been very concerned about her since she fell.
Kelly, who's on our vibration council, who I hope is calling in tonight. She has this beautiful black lab named Antietam, and I love her because her birthday is Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and I've loved him since I was born. And she's a healer, so she will come and she will make you look at her. And look her in the eyes and tell her you're okay. And you have to show her you're okay, and then she'll leave you alone. So ever since I fell, I just closed a musical, and I fell off the stage opening night and really banged the heck out of myself. But more Suzanne, every time I see her, I've got some medical calamity that she has to hear
I'm
about.
I'm just hearing about this right now.
Exactly.
I was shocked.
I don't
I
tell her
there.
Everything because... she's my nurse.
Because I'm going to come over and try and fix her.
Exactly. Well, every time that I see Antietam, she comes and she looks at all my scabs and stuff on my... And then she kind of looks at me like, you know, you're hurt. And I say, I know, sweetheart, I'm dumb. And then she looks at me again and she looks at me like, you know, this is bad. And I'm like, I know. And then she meticulously licks every single thing. And then she won't calm down until I let her sort of do like an assessment of me. But that's, I think, that dogs and cats and birds are innately tribal. And when you're innately tribal, you automatically think, how can I help somebody else? And if somebody's sick, how can I make them better? I think that human beings, we need to work on being tribal. We need to become more tribal. We need to get back to what it's like to function as a tribe and to care about the people in your tribe. I mean, you guys are all my tribe. And you all know I've had 3 years from hell with people. And I would not have gotten through those 3 years without all of you. And when my dog died, my dog and my mom died the same day. And when my dog died, and first my mom, and then 3 hours later my dog, I had this sort of revelation that I was no longer going to have anyone in my life that didn't love me the way the two of them did. Because here were these two wonderful, beautiful female things, a human and a dog, who loved me more than anything, and who had every reason, because of both of their bizarre upbringings, to be angry and to be selfish and to be only about themselves and fearful and guarded, yet all they did was pour love at me. And yet I spent so much of my life chasing after people that treated me horribly and trying to prove to them that I was good enough for their attention. And I thought, you know what, that's the end of that. If you can't love me like Mom did and like Sable the Pomeranian, then you're done. And a beautiful freedom comes with that, because when you put that energy out there of I will no longer put up with this, what's the miraculous thing that happens? Those people start staying away from you, hopefully. And then that opens up room in your life for wonderful people to come and nest in your life that understand what it's like to really love. And I think if we just learn to, like I was saying earlier, if you find a negative person that wants everyone at each other's throats, walk away. If we could just learn to avoid those that treat us badly and keep making room in our life for those that treat us beautifully.
I call that cleaning out the closet.
I like that. Yeah.
Did some cleaning myself recently.
It's necessary.
You have to.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Clean.
Well, and don't you think, Erica, that the higher your vibration rises, the less you can put up with those that need to go.
Well, you got to do cleanup sometimes. Yeah. I work in a different profession. I you out there and help people. I used to work for attorneys.
These sorry.
I know. These people, it's not go help your opponent. Go destroy your opponent. Okay, that's the end.
Sure,
end.
Really. Sure.
It's like it's the skill set you learn at work is opposite the skill set you need to work in life.
Absolutely.
But there is a value to it. There is a risk management to it. There is a cleanup. Think of lawyers and people who work in law as kind of like plumbers. You got to clean up the poo-poo.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, someone has to process the poo-poo.
Exactly. It's good to process the poo-poo.
And it's there's legal problems, and sometimes they're not fun. And there's a lot of tension. And when there is tension, there has to be a meeting of minds. That's that's why we have competent courts of jurisdiction to handle these disputes. But what ends up happening is when disputes are created, when a lot of outrage is manufactured, when a lot of things are elevated to a societal destabilizing effect.
Yes.
That's the very important time for raising the vibration of the nation to shine that light of hope and a celebration of being, instead of leaving this nihilism. Like, if you don't get what you want out of life, all of a sudden it's a tragedy.
Yes, absolutely. I want to read something really quick, and we can take that call because that's probably Jeff. This is something from Dawn Wells. Dawn is in Ohio at an event, so she couldn't be here and she couldn't call in. Dawn is part of our advisory board, and this is what she sent me. Celebrating your anniversary means another great year of bringing joy, information, humor, challenging thoughts, wonder, and a unique point of view to our world. You are awesome. Many, many more years, my friend. Your castaway Marianne hugs Dawn Wells. Dawn is a beautiful, wonderful force of light in my life and such a smart lady. And what a joy to have her on our advisory board. And speaking of the Vibration Council, which we talked about earlier, I believe this is my good friend Jeff Floro, is it not? Jeff?
You mean right now? No, it's your friend, your number 11. Your
Hi,
number 11, Joan Van.
How are you, my friend? How are you?
I'm higher than a kite because I had a local anesthesia. I'm a runner, as you may or may not know.
Yes, I know.
12 miles a day. And I had a cyst that he said, well, I can try to fix it now. That was one of my many appointments today and this afternoon. And so he gave me a shot that I'm loopier than ever.
I'm glad you're here.
Joan is great loopy.
I'm so glad to have you, my friend. I'm so honored that you're here. So tell me something. I won't keep you long because I know that you're recovering and high. But and thank you for the full disclosure, my friend. And thank you for being a part of our advisory board. And you know how much I love you. What does raising the vibration mean to you, honey?
Well, I'll tell you what. This particular 24-hour period, everything that you stand for and what your entire effort stands for, we're all called upon to use right now with this tragedy that happened in Thousand Oaks.
Yes.
And it's like a unity and a harmony and a bonding and everyone hoping to have each other's back. I mean, I was hypnotized last night because I watch always the 11:30 news, and it all obviously happened just during that time. And then the anchors from all the local stations just stayed with it through the night.
Yeah.
As did I. And I was hypnotized and shocked, sadly, once again, because I'm from Colorado and Columbine and all these awful moments, something that you are doing, putting together and celebrating your second year.
Yes.
Of it is all plays into this. And why can't we have more of it? Why can't we do more? And something like today and your anniversary reminds us of how important it is.
I agree. And I'm so honored to have you with me. And we're going to do more next year. We're going to do more outreach next year and go out where the people are and speak and hug people. And I hope you'll be a part of that because you are such a brilliant spiritual person and you're such an asset to my life. And I'm so thankful for your friendship.
Well, God bless, because what you started, it's like charcoal lighter. And let's hope it's a forest fire and a good one, meaning it spreads everywhere throughout the country.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. The wonderful Joan Van Ark. Thank you for being here, my friend. Go somewhere and detox.
Hydrate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's from our nurse.
Maybe I should head straight for Starbucks or, I don't know, and tell them to give me
water.
Give me an IV.
Giant water.
Lots of water.
Yes.
Yeah.
A giant water and lots of sleep. After anesthesia?
Yes. It's very dehydrating.
Yes.
Lots of water.
Lots of sleep. And that's from our medical advisor, Suzanne Groff. And I will send you...
No, but I
will send
but
you...
Loopy.
I will send you I'm going to send you a text tomorrow and check in on you because I'm worried about you. Feel better, sweetheart.
Oh, no, 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 no. It was just a local on my foot, but it doesn't take much with this idiot. it takes very little. I've already started out as a dumb blonde, and this just takes me a little further over the mark. But anyway.
Thank you, my friend.
You take care.
I love you, honey. Thank you.
Have a great night.
You bet, sweetheart.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, honey.
We give her the spike punch at the Christmas party,
exactly,
right?
Yes. At the Raising the Vibration mixer. She gets. Isn't she fantastic? She is such a wonderful, smart lady. I tell you, again, Women Raising the Vibration, right? We're going to do some really good work with that. I'm excited to launch it at the end of the year. It's going to be my Christmas present to myself, is to get us all together doing good women things. Also, a quick announcement that after the first of the year, maybe in December sometime, I'm not sure yet, we're going to start doing some community organized things where we're going to throw some gatherings. And we have a wonderful place in Sherman Oaks where we're going to do it and invite people to come. And I'm going to speak a little. We'll have a special guest every time. And then we'll do a little Q&A and let people talk about how they're feeling in the country and in the world right now. And then we'll have a little reception, a little mixer with some music and get to know each other. And hopefully you'll make a new friend. If everybody makes one new friend every time, then we have raised the vibration. So yes. I'm
Can
happy
you make that
you.
A weekly or monthly meeting?
I would love to. I would love to.
Can we do that?
We'll start it monthly and then we'll see where it goes.
I like monthly.
I would love to be able to take a place over on Sunday afternoons and just throw a little church every week, a little church of the vibration. I would love that. Welcome to, is this Jeff?
This is me.
How are you, my friend? We miss you tonight, but you'd be so proud of L.A. She's taken over on the fly as Ronan, our station manager, taught her how to run the board and run the calls. Isn't she doing a great job?
She's doing an amazing job. Cool, L.A. You're good. You're doing really good.
Thank you. We still miss you, Jeff.
We miss you, my friend. Jeff is handling all of our music. He's our musical advisor. He is actually doing a Raising the Vibration theme song for us, and he's going to be doing all the radio production for our weekly Monday night show, which is what is airing right now. It's called Raising the Vibration, Monday nights 7 to 9 p.m. Jeff is a fantastic musical director and so talented. And also coming in 2019, Jeff and I are doing a vibrational, motivational meditation CD called Vibration, and he's writing all the music, and I'm doing all the words and all the speaking. And this is a new thing that I've never done before, and I'm very excited, and I want you all to be a part of it. So then maybe you would come and lend some vocals on it for me.
Absolutely.
Come sing a little bit.
Anytime.
I would love that.
I've been your backup singer before.
I know. And don't think that reunion's not coming. The band reunion's coming, too.
I still have my wig.
Good. I still got mine. Jeff, what does it mean to you, sweetheart? Because we spend a lot of time talking about this, and you were one of the first people that I told I was going to start this movement because you were with me actually on my mother's birthday on November 9th, 2016, because Jeff and I are also part of our mutual friend Rebecca Fearing's show. What does it mean to you to raise the vibration? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, from what I remember a couple of years ago, just the climate that was happening after the elections and stuff, people were really down. And I remember that, especially Facebook, it was just people were ranting and raging
Facebook
and going nuts. And something needed to be done to just kind of turn it around. It was just too much negativity.
Yeah, absolutely. And what made you want to join me in this?
Well, we were talking about like similar things. We were doing, you know, there was I did it a little differently. I took pictures of my dogs and posted them up there, and people would smile. And these people that were ranting and raving, they would look at the girls and they would laugh and everybody. And that kind of helped in my own little way. But I think in general, we forget that, you know, that how powerful emotions and how powerful people are in general, the spirit and life. And I think that we got to keep it on a positive swing. It always, people tend to, you know, in general, society tends to focus on the negative, and we need to focus more on the positive.
The news cycle focuses on the negative, though, more. If it bleeds, it leads. It tends to,
it tends
to prejudice outrage.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is that I always say this, you know, I grew up in the music community as Jeff did and as Suzanne did. And in, you know, what really fueled that community was the hope that someday you'd get a record deal and go on tour. And when the label started falling apart and the independent music scene came in, a lot of people made a lot of money off books, by telling people that they were never going to get a record deal, they were never going to have the dream, and that no one was ever going to get signed again, and the only way that they were going to continue was to do this independent thing, and they needed their book to do it. And the good thing was a lot of people learned how to do their own stuff, and that was fantastic. The bad thing was that the emotional climate of the music scene has never been the same, because people suddenly lost their hope. And there's always somebody out there making a living off convincing you why everything is terrible. And that's just, there's always going to be that. Right? There's always going to be the snake oil salesman standing outside of the wagon telling you why you're going to die if you don't drink their snake oil. There's always going to be the person telling you that, you know, you're never going to get a record deal, so you might as well just buy my book and it'll tell you what to do. Or, you know, every day I get something that says, like, my kidneys are going to fall out if I don't click on this clickbait thing and find the cure.
Come to my seminar.
Because one time I might have clicked on it because I was scared my kidneys were falling out. So when we live in fear, that fear manifests things. And one of the things that fear has manifested is a global media that people are spending too much time just glued to one channel or another and not exploring for themselves what the truth is, not listening to other channels, not getting out there. Because you have to remember that, yes, the media has our good interest at heart in some regard, absolutely, but also they have advertisers and there are people who get paid to keep the headlines coming. So you have to kind of take that into account, too, and keep an open mind about that. Jeff, I love you. Thank you. I hope you're here with us in person next time. And we all send you all kinds of love and prayers for the loss of your baby yesterday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you
and
soon.
And congratulations
friend.
On a great movement and a happy two-year birthday.
Thank you, my friend. We're honored to have you involved.
All right.
It's wonderful
I'll
to
let
have
you go.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Take care.
Bye.
Our wonderful friend, Jeff Floro. What a joy to have him.
Yeah. The other call's gone, so hopefully they'll call
hopefully,
back.
Hopefully
I was going to say, just
back.
When you're talking about the media, one
please.
Thing, you know, I don't watch the news. This is fucking, you know, I don't watch the news. There are certain, you know, really good writers that I follow on social media who are rational and knowledgeable things. You know, that's where I get most of my news, and all of them accurately predicted what was going to happen in this election. You know, it wasn't like, oh, there's going to be this massive this or this massive that. They said, this will happen. You know, they said one of the guys said something about big change can happen. He said big change can happen quickly, but good change takes a while. You know, because you don't want to keep swing.
Right.
You know, so it's better to ease into it and find those checks and balances. But what I was going to say is that I stopped watching the news years ago. And it took a lot of stress out of my life. And, you know, and I said, because, you know, people sit down, you know, every evening and they watch the news and they wake up and they watch the news. And if you think about it, if you watch a 30-minute news show, they'll cover, I don't know, 10 stories that are happening, you know, for us, say, you know, in the Southern California, everyone's watching basically the same news if you're watching the major networks. And some of the stories happen here in LA, some of them happen in Orange County. But you're seeing maybe 10 news stories when we have millions and millions of people just in Southern California alone, you know, not to mention how many are in the country. And you're seeing 10 stories that happened over millions and millions of people. And it's like if you look around you and see what's really, really happening right around you, you know, not everything is tragic. Yes, bad things are happening here. You might have a family that's going through something really difficult that you know. You might be going through something difficult that you know. But by and large, people are going about their day. People are, you know, taking their kids to school and people are getting along. And, you know, that's really what's going on.
Yes.
Well, it makes it seem like the world is more terrible. All these terrible things are happening.
Right.
Instead of maybe years ago, we didn't have the access to know about all of this stuff.
Exactly.
It's not that it's more or different necessarily. It's that we hear about it more. Everyone's got that dang little object in their hand.
Right.
That's just feeding,
and they're looking
feeding,
for drama.
Feeding.
Right.
They're
drama
seeking.
Right. It really tweaks your reality.
I run from drama.
Yeah.
It's a hive mind. It creates a hive mind. It actually creates an addiction.
It does. Yeah.
It does.
And
it is
an addiction. It's funny that you say that because I used to be a watch the news, weather, traffic, highlights, top of every day. I never watch the news at night because that's just not a good way for me to go to sleep. But I just stopped. And it wasn't even conscious. So you're talking about people wanting to fight and fight and fight. I did the exact opposite.
You just burn out.
I've never had a Facebook page. Yes, we really exist. There are people that have never signed up for Facebook. Still alive.
My husband.
P.T. Barnum's calling.
Yes. But I did the opposite. I walked away. I'm like a blackjack dealer. I'm out.
Yeah.
I walked away. Real life, the real life I see, that's enough drama. I don't need all this.
Yeah.
And I walked away. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's the right way either. I think there's a balance in there. But, yeah, and it wasn't even conscious.
But the thing is, we all have our own battles to fight in our own life. And I think getting drawn into these bigger, often contrived battles, you know, that are blown out of proportion for mm-hmm. someone else's benefit, like you brought up earlier, you know, it draws people in. And that, you know, it's been like 15 years. I mean, I have watched the odd news show here and there, but like at least 15 years ago, I did like you. I'm like, but there's enough going on in life.
Whatever happened to the days when a news story was like lady bakes cookies for the homeless or firemen get cat out of tree? There should be more of that mixed in with
they're all there.
Of the doom and gloom.
I listen to morning radio, and the two morning radio shows I switched between both have that, like, what's the good story?
I miss
of the
human
day
interest
kind of thing.
Stories. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Brianna, is this you?
Hi, yeah.
How are Brianna you, my friend?
Brown.
The wonderful Brianna
I'm
Brown,
good.
Who's on our advisory board. How are you, my friend? It's great to have you here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, and it's, I think, very in alignment with what happened today in the world.
Not that yes.
It's
absolutely
unusual, considering, but it's interesting hearing all of you talk about being connected and disconnected in order to have some sanity.
Yeah, yes, it's true. And you know, you are a wonderful asset to our advisory board, not just because you're a beautiful human being and I love and adore you, but you also run your own nonprofit, so you know what it's like to sort of live between the artist's life, being a very successful actor, and then also you also have this whole give back life, so you know what it's like to sort of split your heart in those two directions. What does raising the vibration mean to you?
Well, the reason I'm honored when you asked me to be on these.
I think I just lost you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, let's try now. I lost you for a minute.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. I said I was, you know, obviously I was honored to be asked to be on the advisory board. And I think the reason that this movement is so important, and especially days like today where what's being highlighted in the world is, you know, there's a real need for healing and awareness and coming togetherness and love and kindness. And instead of pointing fingers and blame, instead having the victims go to the side and having the people who want to help lead and really co-create change, it's our calling to step up and to inspire one another so we don't just put our heads in the sand and, you know, do nothing, but what we do is productive and proactive and inclusive. So I think that what you're doing and what you're highlighting and what you're emphasizing is very needed in our world where, you know, I spoke to a friend of mine who's a news anchor, and I said, how, you know, I know you guys were just talking about this, you know, how come the news is always so negative? And he said, here's the deal, it because they need ratings, and fear, people are more drawn to fear and drama, right? You know, if it bleeds, it leaves.
Yeah.
That's their motto.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, most people, if you think about it, why is reality television such a huge dominant part of our society? Well, it's just constant drama.
Yeah.
You know, we don't watch television shows where people are having healthy conflict. Healthy conflict.
That's too bad, though.
Boring, right?
Right. We could use a little bit of that.
But we could. We're constantly seeing dysfunction. And I think, you know, with my organization, The New Hollywood, which is all about supporting socially conscious storytellers and change makers, the reason that I felt a need to help create ripples of change in this way is because, you know, this is an industry that really creates culture, and it's an industry that attracts and breeds dysfunction. And so the more we can highlight things that are working and the more that we can highlight other ways of going about things, hopefully it creates ripples of change so people can feel inspired and not powerless in their lives.
I love that. That's so beautiful, my friend. And I'm so proud of what you've done with The New Hollywood and how it's grown. And you're an inspiration to me to grow this little baby movement. So I'm glad we're on this journey of service together. And I'm glad that you're my friend and I love and adore you.
I love and adore you too, and I'm so proud of you. It's
Thank
very
you.
Exciting to see all that you're bringing together, and how all of us, because I think it takes a village.
It does.
It's going to take a lot of us to just continue to shift these limiting beliefs that are happening in our world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very, very true. Thank you, Brianna. I know I've got to get Brianna has a baby, a tiny little man at home, so I need to Aww. Get you need to get back to him. But and I'm so proud of you for making a beautiful human too. I can't wait to watch him grow up.
I know, me too. It's so weird.
You made a person, like you made an actual person. That's such a trip. All right, sweetheart.
It's a trip when I breastfeed, and I'm like, how is this? This is crazy. This is all magic.
It's a circle of life, baby.
Blows my mind.
Take care, sweetheart. Kiss your little guy for me. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you for being a part of this.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ella, you might have some people all calling at one time because my good friends from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling are going to call now.
Yeah, what happens then? This just explodes. If
you just keep hitting add to conference. You may have three or four.
Oh, okay,
so I just closed a musical about the story of GLOW. And I played Aunt Kitty, one of the managers, and I sang. I sang Solid as a Rock, and I Want to Dance with Somebody. It's a little jukebox musical. And we workshopped it for 3 days at the 1111 Theater, and now we're hopefully we're going to go into negotiations for where to take it next. And it was fun to work with them. The girls themselves are in the show, and then wonderful young girls play them as themselves in the 80s.
Oh, they made mini-me's.
They have mini-me's, yes.
It was fun. It was good.
It's such an inspirational story. As soon as they call in, I'm surprised they haven't. I'll let them tell you all about it.
I saw it twice. Right? It was really good.
Oh, you're so sweet. I want to read something really quick from one of our Vibration Council members, Glenn Marcinak. Glenn is, I believe, our only millennial on the Vibration Council. I know we're all so damn old.
Oh, my stars. You let one in?
I did. And he's also a veteran, so he's our veterans liaison.
Wow.
And I'm so proud of him, and he sent this. He's visiting family right now in the Midwest, but he said, Sheena, I wanted to send you my love and to all of you for the 2-year anniversary of your movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. I wish everyone the best. This week's midterms have shown me that this country is slowly coming to terms with accepting others. I hope this movement continues gaining steam and helps those with hate in their hearts to warm to love and peace for everyone. I'm very appreciative that you are all in my life. Much love your way and keep up the good work. I love you very much, Glenn. Are you a busy beaver?
No, I'm trying to give Mike some peanuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Some M&Ms.
Our photographer, Mike Pingle, is here, and we love him. And have as many peanuts as you want, sweetheart.
I'm reading this touching thing from Glenn,
and you're passing around the peanuts.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
Like a crazed trick-or-treater.
Get them while you can, or they'll get beaten up.
Mike needed food.
What a tragedy.
Mike, you want some cookies? We have cookies.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
We have Oreos.
Also here, running the show from behind the scenes and also part of our Vibration Council is our technical advisor, Ronan Rosner, who is also the station manager here at LA Talk Radio. And he's in the control room right now, making it so you can see all of us and all this magic can happen. And hopefully he's going to come sit with us in a couple hours and do the last hour with us after he starts all the other shows. Because believe it or not, there are other shows going on right now in the same studio as us. And at 7 o'clock, there'll be 3 shows happening at one time at LA Talk Radio. And he's running all of them, including this. So,
he's here to clean up the mess and blow up the board.
How fantastic is that?
It keeps you busy.
You know what we haven't talked about?
What? Let's do it.
That we've taken the first step to abolish daylight savings time. Does anybody care about that?
Oh,
well, it passed.
Is that your most exciting
California
thing?
Said no more daylight savings time. I'm thrilled.
Do you want daylight savings
I don't want to mess with my clocks anymore. I can't take
we'll
it.
We'll see what
I
happens.
Can't take it.
We had this conversation the other night because I think that some people, a lot of people that I've talked to, thought that it meant that we would stay on actual daylight time.
Yeah, I would love that.
Standard time.
I like the one time.
I don't care which. Let's just pick
I know
one.
A lot of people like, right. Because I'm like,
I'm
I don't,
easy.
I would rather have the time changes than be on standard time all the time. But I looked up the legalities of it. And the state can decide to go to standard time. But they can't stay on daylight time where it stays light later in the summer. Because it would have to be some act of Congress, literally a congressional dispensation.
We know
to
how well
allow
that goes.
Us to do that, right?
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Right?
Maybe. You never know.
Maybe that's where they could come together.
I would rather
agree.
Do we all agree on sunshine?
It could be like Thanksgiving, and they could all agree on daylight savings.
Right.
But, you know, the cycles change, the seasons change, so you're going to have more daylight and you're going to have less daylight no matter what. That's going to happen anyway.
It's not a perfect 24-hour cycle.
Right. Exactly. It's a little off. Stay in one lane. Arizona's been doing it for forever.
Oh, we have calls coming
and it's,
in.
And it's good.
This might be the group.
This
let's try
group,
them out.
Probably. So let's
How do they
one.
Feel about sunshine?
I love sunshine. Vitamin D.
Hi. Are you with us? Is this one of my fantastic Afterglow girls? Hello?
Okay, I didn't touch anything.
We lost her.
Okay.
Any glow?
Okay,
well, there's another one. Let's try this
one. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Roxy Astor.
Hi, Roxy. Hey, Roxy. Roxy from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and the founder
I
of Afterglow.
I dialed the wrong number and then I hung up.
No, I'm glad. We're going to try to get the other girls on with you. I don't know how many. I know that Eileen MTV O'Hara is calling and Patricia Sunny Summerland and maybe Matilda the Hun.
Yeah, Matilda, I sent her the number and she was excited to call in, but then all of a sudden she said she had a yoga class.
Oh, who wants it? I want to take goat yoga so bad. You basically let goats stand on you while you do yoga or something? Like, seriously, I would do.
I don't know if she's doing water yoga or knowing Matilda, it's her own made up kind of yoga.
Suzanne, you're a health professional and a fitness aficionado. What exactly is goat yoga?
My understanding is that they just let the goats hang out and do their goat thing. And it's just the idea of having gentle animals in your space as part of the...
I'm in.
Right? It's not about them, like, walking on you, I don't think. But I'm not a yoga...
Why is there no
expert.
Cat yoga?
Can I answer that question? I went to the National yes. Academy of Sports Medicine. Goat yoga? Doing yoga with you? Is that like the hothouse yoga?
It's just... I don't know. I've never done.
I like the beer yoga. The beer yoga was a fun one.
We all feel more zen when goats are
I would enjoy wine
around.
Yoga.
Look, just get it.
I like the cheesecake. Cheesecake yoga.
Now that's the yoga I could go to.
Welcome
that's a
to
class
my 20s.
I could go to.
I did that in my 20s. Who else is with us? Roxy, you're here. Who else is here?
MTV.
Eileen, how are you,
Yay!
Sweetheart?
Eileen.
I just want to tell you both, and I know Sunny's going to call in, I hope, and Matilda obviously is with goats doing yoga, and who could blame her? First of all, what an experience and an honor it was to create and bring Aunt Kitty to life in Afterglow the Musical, and thank you for trusting me that I would be okay and that it would be good and for allowing me to bring this wonderful woman who meant so much to both of you. To the stage. I mean, I can't even say what a joy it was.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, you definitely. I mean, I think if anything, you know, when we talked to Aunt Kitty's daughter with Nancy, at first I was kind of like hesitant about asking, and I didn't know how she would react to it. But her and I have talked about her mom, and you know, and I met Aunt Kitty a few times, but I just know watching her. You know, the little umbrella and everything, that she was just so over the top and amazing. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there, I think, doing a radio show with you, Sheena, and I looked at you and I go, you're Aunt Kitty. And I know you probably thought I was nuts
and I was not
talking about any kitties.
I loved
it. That's what I meant.
And that was just it. And all the while that you've put this project together, I've always been attached to it. And I will continue to stay attached to it because that's how much I believe on it. And I can't wait till we go everywhere else.
Brought her to life, even though I got some type of a replica kid's umbrella, which we have to get.
Oh, I love it. No, I love it.
The next kind of umbrella. We were supposed to get something from Aunt Kitty's grandson. And it just, you know how things go.
That's all right.
You're doing a play and you kind of forget.
I get it.
And stuff. MTV, do you remember Aunt Kitty?
Are you kidding? She was the Bad Girls manager.
Yeah.
I worked with her.
Yes.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
I love Kitty. She would just do anything. She was so much fun. She was just, she'd get in there and do sketches and beat the hell out of David McLean and Johnny C. And she was always ringside for our matches. And we'd run out there and give Aunt Kitty a kiss and then run into the matches. And she was amazing. She was a Broadway actress back in her day. So she was quite the...
So there was so much more to her than I think I even remember or knew, and you probably remember her even more, so because she was a bad girl. So how do you think Sheena did with Aunt Kitty?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Uh-huh. That was such a fun experience, and you know, I'm glad that we got to work with the people that we did.
Me too.
Everybody did such a good job.
Me too.
I miss everybody.
You know, I have to tell you, guys, I have to tell you, this is Scott.
that
Hi, Scott.
Hey, sweetie. How are you doing?
Hi, Scott.
Lynn and Matt loved the show.
Right. Matt created Glow.
They loved the show. They said that Sheena portrayed the excellent Aunt Kitty. That's exactly the way she was.
I'll see that. So good to hear. And you know,
he was really happy with it.
Well, and Matt and his wife came to the show, and they
with Matt.
Matt and his wife came to the show, and they sat with Scott and LA, yeah. who are both here right now, two of my best friends. So, how wonderful was that? And you guys have
a small world.
We got all the inside dirt.
You know what? It really is because I met Lynn through like just something else that I was doing. And then her husband is Matt. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm inviting him to the Vagina Monologues because you guys are in it. And it's just, it was just really weird. It was like, you know, 3 degrees of separation.
Well, but that's what Tribe is about, right? That's how Tribe's supposed to happen. And I met Roxy and Eileen and Patricia Sunny through Robert Samo, who's on our Vibration Council, and who was my intern when I worked on the Howard Stern station 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So everything happens for a reason. You meet everybody for a reason. And you guys have a wonderful part in the play that makes me cry, even though I'm backstage in my Aunt Kitty garb, where you talk about how you didn't realize until you grew up and got into your lives and wound up years later on Facebook how many people's lives, especially folks in the LGBTQ community, had been changed because for the first time in their lives they saw these fierce warrior women on camera. And what a wonderful legacy for you all to step into.
Right. And then I have to say, too, like the writer Melissa Wassum, when her and I were kind of going over, okay, how do we want to do this? And this is funny. I wanted it to start off at a campfire and I wanted s'mores. For some reason, I had that in my head. And then she goes, oh, let's kind of do something else like that. And she wanted to know, really, because Eileen, you know, we actually lived all this. We found out things later on, even on the cruises, about there were people that wanted to, you know, kill themselves, that we brought them back from a place that's, you know, a bad place. And we did not know this. So Melissa was very like, I want to bring this into the play somehow. And I think she brought it in, since you're crying backstage, she brought it in a very good way, you know, that people can relate to without it, you know, taken away from too much. So
I agree.
I was very happy.
She
with
was
the
wonderful.
She
and
did
I love that
it was a little
nervous
about that.
That it was a mixture of funny things and heartfelt things. And that you all have stepped in, mm-hmm. you and Matilda and Debbie Dallas and Sunny, you guys have all stepped into this wonderful personal legacy of what we did change people's lives, and you let the fans come and tell you the stories and tell you about what their childhoods were like and how they felt out of place and how you all made them feel. And you guys have really taken that on. Like, you didn't think you were going to take that on when you took a job wrestling, and you have taken it on in such a beautiful way and become such a beautiful maternal and sisterly force to all of these people. And I just love and admire you so much and am honored to have the three of you on my advisory board. And, you know, when I looked at my advisory board and said, what don't I have? I thought, well, I don't have any pro wrestlers. So, of course, I went, wait a minute, I know some pro wrestlers and I love them. So I love you both. Please tell Sunny that I love her and I'm sorry she couldn't call in, and Matilda that I love her and I'm sorry she couldn't call in. And we will talk soon. And thank you so much for being a part of this project. It means so much to me.
Wait, I have to say, Eileen, I love you and miss you already.
I love you guys.
Honey, I love you. And Sheena, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Love is the answer, and we all have to keep that in our hearts and
absolutely
keep moving that forward every day, even in the smallest way.
Absolutely. I love you both. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Just thank you for having us on your show
always
and letting us be a part of something that is just so majorly cool. I can't even express how cool it is.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this and for your beautiful
heart.
Love you more.
Love you so much. Scott, you might want to give that mic a little.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That mic is like, Scott's coming and I'm so frightened. Can you just put me in front of LA for a while?
No.
Do we have somebody else or do I have time to read something?
It looks like you have time.
Okay, this is from our wonderful advisory member, Jill Michelle Melion, advisory board member. Jill and I have been friends since before she even was on Mad TV, since we worked together at the Laugh Factory my first year there when I was on the Howard Stern station. And we've been friends ever since then. And she's introduced me to wonderful people in my life and some of my best friends like Deborah Wilson. And she's just wonderful. So she's working tonight and she sent this. This human experience is all about perception. We can choose to focus on the struggles, the things cannot control, and heartache. or we can focus on the expansion, the gifts of nature all around us, and joy. If we don't have contrast, then we don't have expansion. If we don't have bad, then we can't recognize good. If we know what we want, then we know what we don't want. I'll share something that helps me when I feel confused or anxious. Work on you. That can be going for a walk, going to the gym, listening to your favorite music, painting, cooking, whatever you enjoy. When you work on you and you take the focus off the problem, then it works itself out. This life is about the journey and not the destination. If we walk as though we already have everything we want and desire, it feels good. And what feels good is called happiness. Choose to feel happy with good intention. Jill Michelle Melion. How about that? What beautiful people are involved in this project?
That is, in a word, what she's speaking of is resilience.
Yes.
You have to have your own plan for resiliency.
Yes.
And there's just, it's a huge buzzword in healthcare right now, not necessarily for our patients, but how are we keeping ourselves in the game? How are we staying resilient so that we can go back day after day and do what we do?
Yeah.
And that really applies to everybody.
I couldn't agree more.
Or you could call it self-care.
Absolutely. Or also, you know, when you
so
choose
important.
To step into service, you are in service. You're a spokesperson for your community, Erica. You're in service.
Absolutely.
I have this movement and radio shows. I'm in service. Scott, you make candles for the world. You're in service. LA, you work in the spiritual world. You're in service. You're a mother. That's being in service. When you choose to be in service, one of the most important things, like you said, Suzanne, is we need to make sure that we fortify ourselves so that we have the energy to help the world.
Yes.
You know, I love the expression, just save me and I'll save the day. And I love that. And it's so, you know what I mean? And that's what you all mean to me. You all help me so that I can do my work for the world all the time by helping me as a person to grow and be strong enough to get through my own stupid human crap and go on and help people raise the vibration. And all of you coming on board to have my back with this is because I couldn't do this alone. It takes a village, right? It's true. It takes a village to raise a vibration, I like to say. And it is so, so true. You know, there are a lot of people, they don't want to be in service. They want to go do their thing that makes their paycheck, come home, live their lives, and just take care of themselves and their families. And that's so completely okay. I bet that life is very peaceful and wonderful. But all of us have chosen in this crazy way to be these people that make other people feel good. And sometimes it's exhausting. And if we allow ourselves to get drained, then we can't help others. And I've noticed, you know, as I've become more and more involved in work for the world in the last 10, 20 years, and I always have been, but more all the time, and especially since my mother died and I started this movement, if I'm not fortifying myself, something in my body skitzes out and lets me know I'm not taking great enough care of me. So I have to make sure that because I run at 150% all the time, that I'm taking care of me so there's enough of me to go around. And again, I will stress that sometimes that means eliminating negativity from your life because negative people are draining you all the time and they're not putting anything back in you. You know, when I have a conversation with one of you, or any of the people that have called in tonight, I have more energy when I get off the phone. Some people, you spend time on the phone with them, you get off the phone, you're like, oh my God, I seriously need a bag of potato chips and a line of meth. Because, my God, I just never can sleep enough after this. And that's because these are people that are not making enough of their own energy, and so they're taking energy from other people.
Yeah.
And they always gravitate towards us because we're like the Baskin Robbins of delicious warm energy, and they're like, 31 flavors for me, and they start sucking away. So that's where we have to be careful because sometimes we give too much. And I think, you know, when I first developed atrial fibrillation after my mom died and I went through a huge loss of friendship after the election and I went through a big public thing that was very ugly, and I wound up with this crazy thing called AFib, and I went to a cardiologist for the first time in my life at 49, and I said to him, you know, how did this happen? I don't drink. I don't smoke pot. I've never smoked. I've never done a drug. I don't drink coffee. I quit caffeine 2 years ago. I've been sugar-free for 7 years. He said, it's probably emotional. And I said, can't be emotional. I'm a talk radio host. I deal with emotions every day. And he said, let me tell you something about your heart. He said, your heart is like this little empathic creature that lives in your chest, and it tries to protect you from all of the outside stress. So as things are bothering you and things are hurting you, the heart is taking it all in and taking it and taking it and taking it. And when it can't take it anymore, it starts to malfunction.
Fight or flight.
Yeah.
That is an instinct that we all have. And your body is going to react to that. And it doesn't mean, in caveman days, we were running from wild animals, fight or flight. nowadays we're running from what's going on in the world. You can have that flight instinct.
Absolutely.
Without getting off your couch.
Absolutely. And you know that
scarcity and security issue, and there's also fragility culture that's manufactured from the lifestyle that has come. We should really see this as a blessing, guys. In the last 100 years, life expectancy has improved. 100 years ago, most of the world lived on nothing.
Yeah.
Now 90% of the world is fed. There's huge,
they didn't have peanut butter M&Ms then.
We didn't have peanut butter M&Ms back then. There's a lot of things that we're taking for granted that's around us right now that have created, you know, we have these first world problems. We complain we overinflate tiny problems, especially. Someone crucified me for retweeting something improperly.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so are there rules to that?
There are rules within the rules.
Yes, there are
rules
within the rules within the rules.
And it's all offense driven. If you offend someone, you're crucified. And they don't, that's the hive mind problem.
Yeah.
And we need to get people out of that and learn to work together. But the problem is the system itself weaponizes it.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what narrows the bandwidth of people's conversational, what's allowable conversationally. Truth takes both sides. Contrary authority. I come from a place called contrary authority. We study the other side of the argument.
Yeah.
We have the idea that conservatives like neat little boxes, all in order. Liberals like to move around a little bit because they want to prepare for the future. They both have their blind spots, and they both have to work together.
Sure.
But that's not where we're at right now. And I think raising the vibration of the nation is bringing that conversation back to the table and respecting people's opinions and realizing there will be data that, you know, guess what, guys? Contrary authority can be a little offensive to people's cherished ideologues.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always been a student of American history my whole life since I was a small child. And this whole thing with the fighting and the conservatives and the liberals, this is nothing. This has always been going on. This was happening with our founding fathers. This country was designed with the system of checks and balances the way it was, because even back then in the Continental Congress with like 12 people, everybody was screaming at each other. So it was set up with this idea that no one party, no one person would ever be able to take everything over. And when you think, every time you think about it, you should send love to Alexander Hamilton and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, because these guys sat tirelessly in a super hot place with no air conditioning and fought so that we would have a country that would always be balanced, and that we should celebrate when one sect of government goes one party and another goes another party. We should be happy that there is a mixture and a balance, because it encompasses all kinds of people. And we certainly shouldn't turn our families away because of how they believe. But what you were talking about with the retweet reminded me, you can take the call, L.A., reminded me that I remember, L.A., you telling me a story once about how a friend of yours had somebody on Facebook, one of your friends, had a relative who was sick, and she was doing some alternative healing of some kind, and then suddenly everybody's on Facebook saying, well, doesn't she know the bad things about that? And we were like, whoa, this lady's just trying to get better, and she's taking some vitamins. Just let her do what she wants. Everything doesn't always have to be you're taking it those vitamins the wrong way.
And not everything is the right answer for everybody.
No.
I don't care how much evidence or research. Everybody reacts differently to everything.
Absolutely. So absolutely true. We have another call. Welcome to the show. Is this Kathleen?
No, it's Lydia Cornell.
Okay, Lydia, how are you? Nice to talk to you, sweetheart.
Love you, Sheena. Happy vibration to the nation. And I want to just express my condolences for the victims of the tragedy in Thousand Oaks last night.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh my gosh. But
thank
I'm
you.
So glad to see you, and I want to join you more often. I've been taking care of my parents way far away from LA.
I would love that, sweetheart. And Lydia, we're so honored to have you on our advisory board. If people wonder sometimes where I'm like, hey, is
thank
this
you.
Kathleen? It's Lydia. It's because I'm working off a schedule, and the schedule of the show doesn't always work that way, so I'm trying to always figure out who's there. Lydia and I have an interesting story where we kind of met because we shared a best friend in my dear friend Michael Steindl, who was part of our Vibration Council and who passed last Christmas. And I found out about it from Lydia, and we loved him. And he will always be an honorary member of the Vibration Council, and he will always be up on the website in an honorarium, and he will always be somebody that I love very much. And I feel very much
thank
like,
you.
In addition to my mother's spirit that this movement was founded for, that last year when Michael passed, Lydia, that we have folded Michael's energy into what we do here too. And he just wanted people to be free and have freedoms and feel like they had the right to speak and have opinions and to be heard. And he really, really, really was the nicest man in the world that would have given you everything he had. And he did give everybody everything he had. And when we did the anniversary here last year, he was doing testimonials from all our guests in the rooms. He wouldn't even come on camera because he was working so hard videotaping everybody.
Michael was my favorite human being on the planet.
Me too.
He became my best friend like daily. I never had a day without talking to him five times a day. He stayed in the moment more than anyone I've ever met. He laughed at every dumb joke I ever came up with. Everything. I could be walking down the street and just calling him to rant and vent, and he'd be howling with laughter. And I could never get through my anger because he was always making me laugh. He was laughing at me being angry, and I would be out of my bad mood instantly.
Yeah.
He was one of those incredibly, he's like a walking angel, an earth angel.
He had great ideas, and he was always inspiring me to do things, and I was always too busy to do half of them. And I remember telling L.A. one night, my best friend L.A. Weiss is here sitting with us, that when Michael died, I said, how I'm going to honor him, and I told you this too, Lydia, is I'm not going to put off things that I should be doing. I'm not going to put off the fun projects that someone has suggested, because I could have done so much more stuff with Michael.
You just reminded me.
And I didn't know he was going to pass, so I didn't. But Michael and I sat down one night at a diner, and we came up with this idea to do a Raising the Vibration web series, a talk show web series. And when he passed, I thought, oh my God, this is never going to happen. And it was his dream. And now we've got a wonderful guy on our Vibration Council who's helping us with our events. He's going to be calling in later tonight. And his name is Proboth Gotham. And he's very involved in the nonprofit world. We've been friends for a couple years. And one night we were having lunch, and I told him about Michael, how sad I was. And he's like, well, let me come on board, and I'm going to produce this web series and do it with Michael's vision. So that's going to happen now for Michael, even though so he can see it from where he is. And I'm so thrilled that if I had my way, every project Michael ever wanted would come to life in his name. And I will work for him for the rest of my life and to spread his good word and his good spirit to others and his beautiful energy. And I love you, my friend. And I'm so honored you're on this advisory board. And I hope to see your face soon.
I love you, too. I can't wait to be there with you. And are you still doing the show every Thursday night or every...
Do you
still do LA Talk Radio?
Every day. Yeah. Come sit with me sometime.
I'd love it.
Every day. 5 to 7 every day. I'm here every day. Only off on the weekends. Thank you for being here, honey. It's so wonderful to have you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. God bless you all. Love you.
Take care, honey.
Angel light and love.
Thank you, sweetheart. The wonderful Lydia Cornell. And another wonderful thing, when Michael died, I thought all the footage he shot at our one-year anniversary party was lost. And Lydia went and found it. She got his hard disk and found it. And she has it, and she's going to transfer it to me. So all that hard work that Michael did that night will be up on our website and be seen. Welcome to Raising the Vibration. Hi, who are you? Hello?
I guess they
did. Did I lose somebody? All right, they'll call back.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Kathleen.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you? I thought you called before, and I was like, hi, Kathleen. And then it was Lydia Cornell. And I'm like, you're not Kathleen Wilhoit. Welcome, my friend, and welcome to our advisory board. What an honor to have you. I know you're not brand new. You were there last year, and you called last year for the one-year anniversary party. But I just can't even tell you how beautiful I think your energy is and what a joy it is to have you as part of this project.
You're spectacular. I feel like you have really incredible energy, and I feel like the direction that you're going with your work is so glorious and beautiful. I have nothing but support for you, Sheena.
Thank you.
I mean it, because I think changing the world one podcast, one radio show at a time is a beautiful way to begin the process.
Well, what else can we do, right? I mean, the thing is we're never going
to
wake up one day and all the healing is going to have happened. I mean, the way the healing is going to happen
My God, I'd be out of a job.
I know, right? And me too. The way the healing is going to happen is a little bit every day. And how do we each heal our lives a little bit? How do we each raise the vibration a little bit every day? And then how do we take that little bit of vibration that we've raised in us and take it to help raise the whole vibration of the everything. And it happens in baby steps, right? Progress one day at a time. Progress and change is baby steps, whether it's in your own life or you're trying to make the world a more love-filled, kind, peaceful, unified place. It all happens a little tiny bit at a time. And I love that you understand that, because I think a lot of folks get discouraged, like, oh, but I did all this work on myself and I'm still this, this, and this. And you really have to. This is kind of a time in the world where we kind of need to hang our asses out in the wind, as my mama used to say, and live in trust and in faith of a glass half full world. Because if we start looking for things that are wrong.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sweetheart.
I was just going to say it needs to start with a runoff election in Georgia. That's the thing that I want. A runoff election in Georgia between Kemp and my beautiful Stacey Abrams. That's what I want.
You know what? That's what you should focus on. And but you know one thing I will say about the midterms, and I'm trying not to be too political tonight, but I will say this.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I didn't tell you. It's okay. You didn't know. It was something I kind of came up with when everybody was in here like 5 minutes before the show. I am myself a Democrat. I'm a voting Democrat, so I don't, you know, I like just to lay it out where I am in the beginning so people know. I think it was very interesting how close almost all of the elections were. And Ellie and I were talking about this. I mean, almost every election was within like a percentage point, which means that we really, really are a country where half of the country feels one way and half the country feels another way. And as
psychometric data to support that, if you look at Jonathan Haidt's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Conservatives tend to be very conscientious, and people on the liberal side, progressive side, tend to be very openness. And they tend to be very open. And it has to do with how they like order and borders versus allowing data to show through. And there's psychometry. They're not evil. It's just they're wired that way.
Yeah.
And when we look at the, I know if there wasn't healed in life, right, you wouldn't have a job, right? If there wasn't healing in the world, you wouldn't have a job, right?
No work for
I don't think there's a place called healed.
Right.
Because, I mean, Buddha said it best. There's a dark side of this, right, that you have to understand that life is pain.
Yeah.
Now you deal with pain.
There's
now
a place called healing, but maybe there's not a place called healed. I mean, yeah, I think we're all healed.
But pain has a purpose.
Yeah.
Pain is a very important thing. Mm-hmm. People want to mask pain, make pain go away, but pain tells us. Pain informs us.
Pain is a teacher.
Yes. Yes.
Big time teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful. Kathleen, I adore you. Thank you for being a part of this board, and I hope to see you soon, and I'm honored to have you and honored to call you my friend.
Oh, you're my friend. God bless you, and I'm really excited about your show, so just enjoy yourself.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank
have
you.
Great
the wonderful Kathleen Wilhoit, everybody.
Bye.
I see a face in the lobby. Should we bring him in? This is our good friend Darby Hinton is here. How are you, my friend?
Can anybody crash this party?
Yes, come on in. And look, there's a seat with your name on it.
I'm going to give you my chair really soon.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a ride. I'm going to ask you something.
Taller than everybody else. It gives me
Erica's going to
until I stand up.
Erica's going to take off and give you her. Yeah. When Erica stands up, you lose.
I just want to add something before. Yeah, I've got about 15 minutes.
Sure.
But I think forgiveness is an injectable concept that needs to be thought in both ourselves and people on the other side of the aisle for the tension that has existed in this pre- and post-Trump election up to the this election we just recently had. And all the tension that's going on, we have to forgive ourselves in a lot of ways. And that's part of that, because there have been groups that have had intersectional conflicts.
Sure.
Intersectional conflicts, where we oppress each other in our histories. To move forward, we're going to have to come to a place where healing starts, and you start by, this is what you did. This is how we felt about it at the time. This is how it's affected our lives. This is what you want from you. And this is what we want from you now. And this is how you start the healing conversation. You have to identify the problem. Don't gloss over it. And then move forward with healthy suggestions, not, you know, I want you to be disappeared. I want to eliminate you. There's a lot of too much takedown, shutdown, shut up culture. And there's way too much animosity and vitriol and calling the other side hate speech.
Yeah.
Because they disagree with you. It goes way too far and way too overboard.
I agree. So, I completely agree with you.
I don't know why I injected a New York accent in that. I don't know why.
That's okay.
You gotta forgive each other. You know?
gave LA some PTSD because it reminded of her mother-in-law.
Really?
Did I miss something?
She's not from New York, but
apparently there was an election. Did you know?
There was.
Yeah. We had an election and a shooting, and I didn't even know about the shooting until I came into the room.
And we're trying, Darby, not to be too political. So we're just trying to talk more about like the sociological and spiritual pulse of the country and of the world, and what we can do to make people put people in a better place. So why did you want to be on our advisory board, and what does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
Oh, sure. Start with the hard questions. As soon as I sit down.
Get right up on that microphone.
You know me. Listen, I'm a kid of the 70s. We always talked about vibes. We know that it's what you vibrate. Nothing in this world is actually solid. So it's what you put out there is what you attract. And, you know, you can jump into the hatred and think you're going to cure it or fix it. Or you can focus on the love and the peace and the good people that are out there and the people that are doing good, like one Sheena Metal.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
And why would I want to be on the board? Because I'd love to help raise the vibration, because there is so much good out there. There's so much great things happening. You know, I look at now at what some of the kids are complaining about, and it doesn't mean I don't feel, you know, what they're going through.
Sure.
But when they stand up there and demonstrate, and they, you know, they cry because they didn't get what they wanted, or, you know, and I think of the generation I grew up that stood in front of National Guards that were shooting at them and actually killing them,
right,
for them trying to stop a war and putting it out there and doing it. We've come a long way, and I don't think there's that many of us that stop and just appreciate that we have. That's not saying we don't have a long way to go. But I really think it would help if a lot of people just really appreciated how far we've come in a very short time. Mm-hmm.
I agree. And one of the things I love about you is that, first of all, that you've grown up in this business since you were like a toddler. And you always have such good things to say about it. Before you could toddle. Before you could toddle. And you have such wonderful things to say about the business. And you always find the positive in everything. And you've enjoyed your experiences. And I love that. This is a wonderful business to be in, and we need more people saying good things about it. Sometimes it kicks your ass and it punches you in the crotch, but still, we need more people saying wonderful things about it. And I love that you always kind of find your positive center, and I think that's important. More people should be like you. You're a glass half full guy. You're loving your life. You're enjoying the things in your life. You love your wife. You love your kids. You love your career. You love being in Los Angeles. You love the earth. I mean, you're a happy man. I can think of nobody whose vibration is sweeter.
Well, I not only like the half full glass, but I can't wait to see what I'm going to fill the other half with.
Oh, my God, you're amazing.
There you go.
You're amazing. Nice. Welcome. Is this Jenny?
It is.
Hi. This is my dear friend Jenny Stewart, who I've known for 10 years from the paranormal community. And Jenny has just joined our Vibration Council as our paranormal advisor, because the paranormal community has always been such a big part of my world. Erica, are we losing you? Bye, sweetheart.
Not yet.
She's just getting up to hug everybody and switching with Darby. It's wonderful to have you. As I was saying, the paranormal community has been such an important part of my life and the spiritual community, and I love you being my friend from there. And also an exciting announcement. Everybody knows at the end of the year that we're launching the Women Raising the Vibration Outreach. In the beginning of 2019, we are launching one called the Vibration Universe, which is going to incorporate all of my spiritual community friends and all of my paranormal community friends. Jenny, what does raising the vibration mean to you, and why did you want to be a part of this?
I think it's setting an example. You know, I think that I'm losing my voice, so if I start cracking, that's what it is. I think it's setting an example. I think that, you know, we're in kind of a world, and we've talked about this before, that, you know, sometimes doesn't come across that great. So we always got to keep our head above the water.
Yes.
We've got to show people that no matter what situation you're in, you know, as long as you hold tight to the light, you know, you're always going to be in a better place.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And you know, we've approached this, you and I both sort of have come into our spiritual gifts at around the same time. I think you dragged me out of the psychic closet, and among other people, but you were a big factor in that.
We tag-teamed her.
And sort of have come to this place of realizing in our lives that we thought we were going to be one thing, and And now we realize that we're also this other thing, and the responsibility of wanting to use our spiritual gift to help people and to make the world a better place. And I love that we've been on this journey together, because sometimes it's scary when you suddenly realize that, guess what? Whether or not you've decided to be in service to the universe for your whole time, the universe has decided that it's picked you. And that's kind of how this movement was. I mean, I know everybody knows the story, but here we go again for people watching for the first time. When the election happened and I lost two of my best female friends and everybody was screaming at each other the next day, I was looking at how much it would cost to move to Ireland. And for the first time in my life, I thought, I don't have my mother. I'm untethered. Maybe I should go back to where my people come from and I should just live a different life. And then I was walking to my car to go down to my mom's house and go through her stuff, which is a grueling experience. And literally the universe just started downloading things to me. No, you're going to do this, and it's going to be called this, and you better stop and get the URL. And I literally pulled over at a Starbucks halfway between Sherman Oaks and Huntington Beach and ordered the URL from GoDaddy, because the universe said so. And it's put me in this place where now I just wait for the universe to tell me what's next, and that's what I do. And that's how I've created this whole movement. And that's a lot of what my whole life has been in the last 2 years. And it's been a lot of surrender and a lot of trust and a lot of faith and a lot of letting go. And in the end, it's made me a much happier and a much better person. I mean, LA, you've known me since 1981. Suzanne, you've known me since 1994. I mean, you guys can attest to the fact that I'm a lot more mellow now than I was. I mean, seriously, I almost have no pulse. And it's because I continue. I know. That's right. It's because when I have a pulse, it's an AFib. I continue to surrender, and I continue to let go.
Irregular pulse.
Exactly. It's a lovely little, my heart beats like this sometimes. It's letting go, right? And I think we've both been on that journey together, and I can think of nobody that I would rather be have on my vibration council handling all my paranormal peeps than you. And I love and adore you, and I thank you for this, and I thank you for calling in, my friend.
I love you too, and it's such an honor. And you know, I think it's such a great journey to be on, considering where we're at in the world today. And I think that by being an example, that you know, we can look back, you know, maybe 10 more years and go, wow, look where we came from, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I love you very much, my friend. Thank you for this.
Jeez.
And while we're talking,
I love you, LA. I'd say I heard you.
Hi. I love you. It's been way too long. And, you know, let me just say really quick, while we're talking about my mom, because it is her birthday tomorrow, so I'm tying some things into her, that when I met Jenny, I didn't realize that she had spent a lot of her life in the area where my mom was born, in the Louisville, Kentucky area. And Jenny has been a great help in helping me to learn things about my birth family, to find out things about my mother's birth family, because my mother was orphaned when she was 6 and then in the system and adopted when she was 12. So she didn't know a lot about her roots. And Jenny, just knowing that area, has really helped me. She helped me to find my grandmother's grave in Louisville, where I went and scattered my mom's ashes. And now I'm going to get a little baby headstone made for Mama to put her up next to Grandma. And I can't thank you enough for that, my friend. And I know that it would mean so much to my mom that I have a friend in that area that is looking out for Louisville, that she loved so much when she was little. So I cannot thank you enough.
I think it's amazing, the connection, you know. And I tell people that all the time. If you just slow down and you kind of pay attention, you'll recognize the connections that we all have and how it comes about. I've met some amazing people through you that, you know, just doing some of the shows, and it's like, wow, we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
And I remember when you came down to finally, you know, search your mom's ashes, and I finally got to sit down and I met you for the first time in person and hold your mom, you know, and I felt your energy. And it was beautiful. And I was like, wow, I see where Sandy gets it now. So, you know, it's been a great honor. It's been a great journey. And
I'm honored by those words, my friend. Thank you. Thank you.
Better when even down the road, too, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. I love you so much. Thank you for this. It's interesting because...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. For people that don't know what Jenny's talking about, so when I we love you too. When I travel with a little bit of my mom's ashes in a little bag because I feel better flying with her. I hate flying. It's my mom died and I've been carrying her with me. Flying has become so much easier. So when I'm somewhere like at a spiritual thing, I'll pull her out and say, do you want to hold my mom? And I let psychics hold her so they can feel her energy. Or I let people hold her ring that I've worn since before she went in the hospital, but before she passed. And I always like, let me hold her ring. Do you want to feel her? Because I just want people to have that, the beautiful energy that she bestowed upon me. I want everybody to feel a little bit of that. And I hope, I always say, if you like me, you can thank my mom, because I am who I am because of her.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.